Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'll be your host today. In our next segment, On the Farm, we talk with Roger Johnson, the president of the National Farmers Union.
If you're a small to a mid-sized farmer, how do you protect yourself, or how do you prepare for these mega mergers and buyouts?
That's really a huge and hugely important question. Frankly, the ones who are going to be hurt the most are the very folks that you mentioned, Jason. It is these small and medium-sized producers. They don't have market leverage, so they're sort of left to pay whatever the market has to offer for the inputs that they have to buy, seeds, fertilizers, pesticides, etc. And they have no leverage on the other end of the selling equation when it comes to sell what they're producing, whether it's a dairy farmer or a grain farmer or beef or what have you. And so they're left just taking whatever the market is going to pay them. And these mergers drive economic inefficiency. I mean, it is just a fact of life. When you reduce competition in the economy, the result of that reduced competition, especially when it's so concentrated like it is in these cases that we're talking about, is that in many cases, these farmers may have only one choice in terms of a combination of products that they need for their farm. And if you got one choice in the marketplace, boy, I tell you, that seller's got a lot of leverage, and you have none. And so you pay whatever it is. And in many cases, that's what we're seeing. I mean, these mergers, you take the Dow-DuPont one, where as I looked at my own farm in the middle of North Dakota, you actually would reduce the number. Well, one of those companies has four different combinations of canola offerings, canola seed with different technologies, et cetera. The other one's got seven. You merge those two, you're not going to end up with 11. You're going to end up with something fewer. Not only that, those two companies are competing head-to-head today. They merge, suddenly that competition is gone. And now as a farmer, I got a single choice where there were two choices. And so I'm going to pay more, I'm going to have fewer options to choose from. And on a crop like that, you know, I've got a farm where you've got some heavy soil, you've got some light soil, you may have an early spring, you may have a late spring, you may have a wet year, you may have a dry year. All of those different things call for different varieties with different sort of tech products that are attached to them. And so you end up with just having to use whatever might be the closest fit and paying more for it. And it's just not a, you know, we pay more, you make less, you have fewer choices. It's not good for the economy. I mean, we used to have very robust antitrust laws in this country. And there was a time when we had a president, Teddy Roosevelt, who was known as the trust buster, who came in and broke up a lot of these overly concentrated markets that were serving, acting like monopolies or oligopolies, and all at the expense of the ultimate consumer. And those laws, while the laws themselves have not changed, a lot of the judicial interpretations of them have, and our enforcement behind them has significantly waned. And so as a consequence, many of these mergers now are just sort of rubber stamped, and not many of them are ever scrutinized or denied. You know, it's a worry. And I think there were a lot of folks in this last election who ended up voting for Trump because they were concerned about these very things. And they were convinced that a vote for Clinton was a vote for sort of the status quo, the old guard, the way it is, and didn't believe that you'd see any major change and push back against some of these things. And so while they may not have known what Trump was going to do, they at least knew he was very different and very non-establishment. And so took a chance and voted in the hope that he said he was going to stand up for the little guy. I think a lot of folks, especially in farm country where he got a lot of his votes, a lot of those folks sort of felt like, well, maybe he's going to stand up against some of these big deals for us. And So we'll see. I mean, he hasn't said anything about this proposed merger, but his transition team has. And I think it's interesting that he's not yet had enough time, the agriculture commissioner, but he's had time to sit down with these two big chemical seed companies and potentially even announce a deal to support their merger. That's not a good signal if you're a small or medium-sized farmer in this country. Frankly, it's not a good signal if you're any size farmer.
And that brings up a great point of accessibility. Now, when Monsanto was, before the merger, they had pretty much access to anybody in Washington or at a state level they wanted. I think they had like 90, 95% of the seed market. I mean, they virtually had a monopoly out there. And they also had the accessibility. Now, when you're talking about how a farmer is not even being able to have an accessibility to the right people that they need, and the president's going ahead and meeting with these, you know, two or three people that represent 80 to 90% of the marketplace out there, I don't think that's a very good sign for the average voter, the average farmer. I mean, does that put your organization on overtime or what?
Well, sure it does. I mean, you had asked the question earlier, and I didn't answer it very directly about how does the small or medium-sized farmer get his voice heard or her voice heard. And really, the only meaningful way to have your voice heard is to be members of organizations like Farmers Union, other general farm organizations, other agricultural organizations, and then make sure that your voice is heard through those and that your folks in Washington are the ones that are saying these kinds of things and raising these kinds of issues, at least in the press, so that eventually that word can hopefully have an influence on the policymakers.
To listen to the full-length interview with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, or to listen to other On the Farm features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media
Network. Now the shark's in the water, babe, they think you're pretty sweet. No, they're never gonna get you with the big old pearly teeth.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. To find out more about Tom Peckskamp and his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. The American petroleum industry and the surrounding businesses will be hosting the 20th annual API Gumbo Cook-Off. The event will be held Saturday, February 18th at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota. 18 teams will compete for the ultimate trophy and bragging rights. The event starts at 6:30 p.m. with the public taste testing. There's door prizes and a live band. Cost is $10 per person. All proceeds go to local charities and college scholarships. Come taste the dark secrets of the bayou at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota with the 20th annual API Gumbo Cook-Off. For more information, call Les Borsheim at 701-290-7061. That's 701-290-7061. That's the 20th annual API Gumbo Cook-Off happening Saturday, February 18th at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has defined himself as one of the top realtors in the nation, and those skills using real estate can and will translate into your business world. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty have created business tactics and strategies that are getting attention from around the nation. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today. 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.